The Flatus Show is brought to you by Douglas Brothers Apple Pectin Pea Powder Organic Soap, cleansing and rejuvenating hands and faces since 1923.
This podcast is a proud member of the Network of One Podcast. And also the Freak Network at thefreaknetwork.com.
On today's Bill of the Flatus Show, episode 143, Gay Agenda, Twitter, Domestic Control Weapons, and Bloomingdale's. All of this and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. A low-calorie carbonated beverage for my diet. Delicious. Welcome to the Flatus Show. I'm Kenty, your host. And Jose, my co-host, is shopping at Bloomingdale's. He's not in the studio. And I just want to welcome you to the Flatus Show. Another week, kids. How you been doing? As you know from the last week's show, life has been pretty rough around here in the Flatus studio with John and everything. And he is doing fabulously well, I have to say, considering what he's been through, having lost, 4 pints of blood. He's doing fabulous. I think he'll need some physical therapy, though. He was talking about that today because he's having a little stiffness. But anyway, welcome to the Flatus Show. How to start this show off? Okay, let's see here. First of all, I want to talk about emails I received. Now, as you all know, or maybe you don't know, and I talk about it later, but little Jose is shopping at Bloomingdale's, and you'll know more about what that means later on. But we received emails from Tim and Annette from For Whatever Reason podcast. They were asking both about Johnny and giving us the condolences for Jose's shopping trip. Matthew from Spanking B. Arthur also sent an email in the same talking about a Jose shopping at Bloomingdale's, as well as Makiki from Florida. She sent her condolences for Jose's shopping at Bloomingdale's. Zillafag also sent an email too, which I'm going to which I made it into an audio file, which I'm going to play right now.
My thoughts are with you. So I guess it was time for Jose to say goodbye. It would be cool if people could be more like dogs. Live simply. Love generously. Care deeply. Remember, if a dog was the teacher, you would learn things like: when loved ones come home, always run to greet them. Never pass up the opportunity to go for a joyride. Allow the experience of fresh air and the wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. Take naps. Stretch before rising. Run, romp, and play daily. Thrive on attention and let people touch you. Avoid biting when a simple growl will do. On warm days, stop to lie on your back on the grass. On hot days, drink lots of water and lie under a shady tree. When you're happy, dance around and wag your entire body. Delight in the simple joy of a long walk. Be loyal. Never pretend to be something you're not. If what you want lies buried, dig until you find it. When someone is having a bad day, be silent. Sit close by, and nuzzle them gently. Enjoy every moment of every day. Yeah, dogs rule. Hugs, Zilla Fag. ZillaFag.com.
Thank you, Zilla Fag. That's very sweet. You have a heart of gold. I know you do. Whether you like it or not, you're a nice man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Now, I also received some other interaction. I received a twit, I think that's what you call them, from CB60089. I know it sounds like a robot from AI or something, but anyway, CB60089. He wrote that he thought of me while he was shopping for groceries the other day. So I thank you, because I was talking about groceries and buying good food and you know what it's all about. You listen to them. You've listened to the shows, and if you haven't, go back and listen to them within the last 10 shows or whatever. I talk about buying food and stuff and exercise. So thank you, CB. I'm not really sure I know who you are I recognize you from the Twitter, but I didn't know you were a listener. So maybe I do know you. I don't know, but thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I really do. It's nice to hear from new people. I would like to still hear from that guy from Facebook. What's his name? Xavier, something like that. Hi, Xavier, whatever it is. Do you listen? Okay. Oh, what was I going to say now? So anyway, I played the Zilla Fag. Yeah, thanks, Zilla Fag. Okay, I got some more voice comments, which I'm going to play for you. The first one is Tim from Taste Like Burning podcast. Taste Like Burning. I have links on my show on the side of my page, when you go there. And the second one is from Sam, a good friend of mine. I've known him for nearly 20 years, if not 20 years. And it's, he's in Philadelphia now. We came up to Boston around the same time. So we did a lot. We worked at the music store together, the Gangsteria store. And finally, Ouija. He has his own podcast, and he's also co-host to the Big Gay Sex Show. So I'm going to play those concurrently right now for your listening pleasure, and you get to know my listeners.
Hello, Kenty. It's Tim from Taste Like Burning. Just wanted to call you real quick. I have only recently gotten the opportunity to listen to your fine podcast, and I wanted to let you know that I really enjoy it, and I can't wait to download some more new episodes. Hopefully they'll be coming out soon, and I'm going to go back and grab some from the past. So great job, Ken, and I can't wait to hear more, and I'll pocket you later. Bye.
Hey, Ken. So I'm sitting here listening to the podcast of most recent episode of the Flatus Show, and I hadn't looked at the website in a while, and I was reading, your bio and Jose's bio, and I was just cracking up. I loved your description of the Cambridge side Gangsteria. Absolutely a hoot. Love that.
Reagan, that cocksucker.
Oh, it's so nice to hear somebody else who didn't like Reagan. It's amazing how people these days just kind of remember him as this wonderful guy who made America feel good again. And it's bullshit. He was a disaster. Not as big as the disaster we've got now, of course. But then again, I don't know who is. Anyway, as far as your comments about the equal time provision, wait, I'm going to put the show on pause. I don't want to miss anything. Your comments about the equal time thing for broadcast, editorial opinions and all that kind of thing. It's really, I hadn't thought of that in so long when they used to say that, we're required by law to present opposing points of view and blah, blah, blah. But if you think about it, if that law were still in effect, how would Fox News exist? So, anyway, and so maybe that would be a good thing if it were brought back. But also about Birtwistle, I'm very intrigued by your discussion, and I was wondering if you know his piece called Panic, which I think has been recorded, but I don't have a recording of it. I think it's like a concerto sort of for saxophone, drum set, and orchestra. And I haven't been able to hear it yet, but I am curious too. And now I'm going to put this on pause and go listen to the rest of the show. Jesus Christ, what a harrowing story. I'm glad John's okay. I mean, he sounds good. It was quite reassuring to hear his voice on the podcast. But man, that's... I hope that his rehab goes well, and I'm sure it won't be a lot of fun, but I'm glad that that he's there. And I'm also glad that you guys already have a sense of humor about it. I mean, the beef jerky thing, just good grief. only you can. And what was that last piece of music right at the tail end of the show with the horn and the flute and the if I make my will and testament thing? I didn't recognize that. I'm curious what that is. And I was also reminded that a few years ago I saw I think it must have been a show about the English National Opera or whatever company it was. And at the time that the documentary was made, they were putting on a production of Sir Gawain, and they showed a little bit of it on the show. It was pretty interesting. It's like at one point he cuts off the Green Knight's head. I think that's who it happens to, and he's holding the head, and the head keeps singing. So I don't know. I mean, obviously the singer was off stage, but you know they got some kind of robotic thing to move, but I remember, Gawain, Gawain. Anyway, so I enjoyed listening to the show, and I'm glad that John is still with us, and I hope you'll give him my best. And I don't know what else to say, so I will sign off, bid you adieu.
Good Lord, Kenji. Hey, it's Ouija. Hey, I figured I'd do what you do and call you in between running from the light rail, which is our version of the above-ground subway, and the bus, and I figured I'd just yell at you and tell you that I heard your show today. And a couple things. I totally agree with you on the FCC, you know, bringing that legislation back that, you know, to give opposing views airtime. I totally agree with that. And, oh, my God, I am so sorry to hear about Johnny. So, anyways, I'm glad to hear he's okay. Glad to hear he was functioning on your show. My God. So I'll have to subscribe to the Deep Forest, called Dark Forest. So anyways, there was something else I was going to say too, but I don't know what the hell it was. Anyways, but just thinking of you, thank you for the podcast. Keep doing. You piss excellence, baby. You piss excellence. So, okay. Toodles.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for the audio comments. I really appreciate it. And thank you for your, thanks for asking about Johnny. Johnny is doing well, as I said earlier. And, I appreciate your kind thoughts. I really do. It's nice, you know. Okay, so let's go on to say something real quick, because what I didn't talk about in the show is, first off, the other day it was on 2020 or one of those shows. Maybe it was 60 Minutes. There was a segment on these laser weapons. They're non-lethal laser weapons, right? And, you know, it sounds good, right? They're talking about using them in Iraq, and they're like, man, we don't really want to use them in Iraq because they're non-lethal, blah, blah, blah. Might cause more problems. And I can understand that, right? You just piss off people by, you know, shooting lasers at them. But the thing is that they showed this being tested. So they had the Army's developing this weapon. And they had these group of people, soldiers, and the guy is firing this laser at them, and they're moving away because apparently it gets real hot. Doesn't hurt you, but, you know, painful enough that you have to go stand away. And it's like works from 50 yards, something like this. It's a really far distance, so your people can be safe. They don't have to be right up close to them and, you know, worry about getting hurt. These people, right, though, they're saying this is being tested to see how it would react against people in Iraq, like, you know, insurgents and stuff. But the Army people are carrying signs like, give peace a chance, and, you know, all these things which are related to American protesters, basically, peace protesters. And so my theory is that this is being developed for domestic use, to keep people from rioting when, you know, if anything happens, like if, let's say there's another depression, then they're going to be used to keep people in check, to keep people from rioting, and or used by, you know, businesses to keep people from, you know, rioting when. Because, you know, if anything bad happened, like, you know, if the economy fell apart and it was a depression, you know, people would want to go and, you know, rip the balls off of, you know, first of all, probably the president of some place. I just say president. It could be any kind of president, okay? Just some sort of president. Because, you know, presidents are leaders, right? And if you've been led down this rabbit hole of depression, right? I mean, if then, you know, you want to rip the leader's balls off, right? So, but, you know, companies like, you know, food companies and petroleum companies, trustees of, you know, these places, you know, that you want to rip their balls off because, you know, they should have known. They should know better, all right? I think business leaders don't have ethics, tell you the truth. I think their ethics are gone. I think the idea of ethics in business has been replaced with greed. You know, thinking that the only way that business works is if you make a profit. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with making a profit or that you shouldn't make a profit, but I also think that there's a time to make a profit, and there's a time where maybe you don't make as much of a profit, and, you know, too bad, right? You know, you have to get through the bad times. They have to also buckle down, and that's that, you know? It's, you know, and everybody, you know, not just, you know, some companies, but all companies, you know? But that's just my opinion. You know, which is unpopular, but that's okay. You know, whatever. Whatever, you know. Time goes on anyway. Life goes on. You know, we'll all be dead someday anyway. So, you know, whatever, right? So, yeah, this laser weapon, it sort of, you know, it doesn't frighten me, but I think to myself, they're using that. They're developing that for domestic use. So mark my words. Okay, I feel my gay agenda prophecy is working, and I think that is going to be the fact. So we're going to see that in the coming future. So, on with the show.
Oh, little Audrey says, save for rainy days, she says, but every time it rains, she spends what she puts away. She knows her proverbs A to Z and knows the good they bring.
But when she has to follow them,
well, that's another thing. Oh, little Audrey says, while the sun is out,
One day, little Audrey was sitting at the kitchen table having a glass of milk and a cookie when all of a sudden her blind old grandmother came racing into the kitchen from her bedroom. "Little Audrey, little Audrey, you are the harlot as spoken about in Revelations. You are Oholibah as written about in Ezekiel. You are damned. You are damned and you're going to bring the earth to hell. It is written on the walls. You are damned. You are the harlot. You are Oholibah. You are Oholibah." As she left the room still ranting, little Audrey just sat there, finished her milk, and laughed and laughed and laughed, because she knew all the time that it was just a stucco on her grandmother's bedroom walls. Jose, the two of us need look no more. We both found what we were looking for. A friend to call my own, I'll never be alone. And you, my friend, will see you've got a friend in me. Jose, you're always running here and there. You are wanted almost anywhere. Never look behind and don't like what you find. There's something you should know. You've got a place to go. I used to say I and me. Now it's us. Now it's we. I used to say, I and me, now it's us, now it's we. Jose, some people would turn you away. I don't listen to a word they say. They don't see you as I do. I wish they would try to. I'm sure they'd think again if they had a friend like you. Like you. Like you. Like you. Jose. Jose, well, as you all know, Jose has gone shopping at Bloomingdale's, and that's where he'll be from now on out. And, you know, we'll miss him, but, you know, he had a really good life. When I first met John in 97, Jose was 4 years old. He was the first of the kids to, you know, come up to me, and, you know, and I loved him a lot. And, you know, as you can tell, he's my co-host. So it's a little lonely right now without Jose because it was my job at the end of the day to take him out before we go to sleep, you know, take him out to pee. Though he didn't pee. He just went out there and then he came back in the house and peed. But it was my job to do that anyway. And now, you know, I don't have to do that because he's at Bloomingdale's and they have a room for him to pee there. Shopping with Andy Warhol's mother. Also, other things that have changed around here is that, you know, Jose had Alzheimer's disease, the doggy Alzheimer's, and he peed quite frequently in the house and pooped. So, you know, oftentimes, you know, I'd step in it and damn him. And I feel guilty about that. But not really, because, you know, you would do that too. I mean, if John started peeing in the house,
I'd say.
A turd! You violated my divinity with a turd! So, oh, Babs, a turd! So, yeah, Jose used to leave little packages. I mean, and it was really wonderful when you stepped in it in your bare feet. And piss, too, especially, you know, I'd have my socks on, and I'd be walking in there, get a nice, soak up a nice big urinous pile of piss that Jose deposited. And he was...
He got it more than I did, because he always peed on your side.
Yeah, he always peed on my side of the bed. And the last year when he had the Alzheimer's, he used to, previous to his Alzheimer's, used to come snuggle up to me at night. And then he wouldn't. He sort of stayed at the foot of the bed. But it was really something strange. The last few months of his life, he started changing. He actually seemed to be getting better. His Alzheimer symptoms were going away. He didn't compulsively go around and lick up sniff the walls like he had been doing. And he was pretty good. He would come to bed and, you know, sleep right next to us. Actually, he got in the habit of sleeping between us at the foot. It was kind of annoying. But, he was actually, he did come up to us, you know. And we went to Pennsylvania, as you know, and we took Jose with us, and I have video. And Jose...
Did that trip shorten his life?
No. Wouldn't have shortened his life by much. He was old. But I think he had a really great time there. There were two other dogs there. So when we went out to dinner, when we came home, he wasn't crying. You know, he was glad to see us, but he had other dogs there. So he was, you know, happy about that. And he also was running around the yard like a puppy. And it was like he had applesauce in him. You know, he was like full of energy. And it was really amazing. And I was like, hey, you know, slow down there, little buddy. So... You know, I think this happens, that, you know, when people die, because like my grandmother, I'll talk about my grandmother, when she died, for years she had this problem.
I'm sorry.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Oh, I'm sorry.
My grandmother had, I'm going to talk about this idea of these changes, that you become more whole or something towards the time of your death. My grandmother had this problem with her foot. Her toe was, like, bent back for whatever reason. I don't know what it was. It was stiff, right? She couldn't wiggle it. And I used to massage her feet all the time. I was like, you know, I had healing touch, right? So one day, it was like about 6 months before she died, I'm rubbing her feet, and she's wiggling her toes. And, you know, that's what reminds me of Jose, you know? It's like all these ailments he's had. And then he suddenly, you know, is like young again, you know. Then he finally leaves for Bloomingdale's. But it was a neurological problem, the doctors think. It happened so suddenly. It could have been a brain tumor, or maybe he had a stroke. Something happened, and he just went downhill, and it was so quick. And I was at work. John called me because it was really strange. We had gotten a cleaning woman to come in for the house because of John's arm. And she was cleaning the house, and Jose got sick. And now John was also going to get his tube out, the Jackson Pratt thingy-majiggy, and, you know, to see the doctor. So Jose's like vomiting, he's sick, so John calls me and says, we're taking Jose to the vet, he can't stand up, he's vomiting. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe he's dehydrated or whatever, I don't know. So he goes to the vets, they have him on IV fluids, they're giving him a x-ray. And Yeah, blood test. And so John goes to the doctors. He actually had a great time at the doctors. The doctor took out the Jackson Pratt drain and also took out the stitches. So, I mean, he healed a lot quicker than they expected. Then they gave him these outside stitches. They're called something. What are they called? The Steri-strips. You know, just, and he has to be careful. But, you know, for the most part, it's healing. So later that afternoon... They call back and say, you know, Jose's gotten worse. So John went, called me, and I was like, well, I guess, you know, first of all, we had talked about it, you know, what are we going to do if we have to put him down? And I had said, well, can't we give him, like, pain medicine and bring him home, you know, and to die? And so John said he'd ask, but he was really going fast, and I was at work. John called me, and so I wasn't able to be with him when he passed away. I felt a little, you know, I felt distant from him, but I mean, at the same time, I knew this was the best thing for him. I mean, it didn't, you know, it doesn't make a difference if I'm there. I mean, it was best for Jose, you know, to go with dignity to Bloomingdale's. So John, you know, put him on the bus to New York, and that's where he is. He's shopping at Bloomingdale's. No, I think he's shopping in New York. He's shopping in the New York Bloomingdale's. So, but John was...
Can I say one thing?
Why don't you come here if you're going to say something, then?
I'll just talk loud. How's that?
Well, maybe. I might have to get rid of it if it's not too...
Okay, but it's too hot.
Okay. Well, then yell.
What I was going to say is that maybe Jose's romping around in Pennsylvania was the beginning of terminal agitation.
Oh, might be. John said that maybe his romping around was terminal agitation. Yeah, which happens to people before they die. Yeah, because, you know, it makes sense. Because he was pretty peaceful, right, at the time he died, right?
Sure, yep.
He wasn't agitated.
No.
He's very peaceful. Not die. Well, he did die, but he's shopping at Bloomingdale's. Before he went shopping at Bloomingdale's, it was very peaceful, right?
Yep.
So John was talking about how little Jose was when he first brought him home, which is before Kenty, BK. And he brought little Jose home. He was from a puppy mill. And you can read the bio on my webpage at theflatoshow.com. Just click on the Jose for the bio. But his brother Miles almost like, you know, well, it's on there. You know, ate him, killed him. Poor little dog had blood coming out of his nose. And spent the first night at home in intensive care at Angel Memorial Hospital. And, you know, you can read about his trials and tribulations in his biography. So that's all I wanted to say. And, you know, Jose will always be part of the Flatus Show. He'll always be here, though he's shopping at Bloomingdale's.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
It's actually something that you said the other day that struck me. And that is, you said that Jose never barked at anyone.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's absolutely true. I don't think he ever did. Except in delight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We were thinking about Jose. Jose didn't have a hateful bone in his body. I mean, even the strangers. Like, you know how some dogs will bark at strangers and go after them? Jose never barked at anybody. Not even bad people. And we knew bad people in the neighborhood when we lived in Boston. He just was love. Jose was love. He was like Jesus. He was just love. Jose was just love. I'm going to now play a voice comment I received from Darren from Shopping Oddcast.
I disagree with you over the airwaves thing, and I'm demanding equal time on the latest show. Hi, Kenty. First, as you'll probably get from my stance, I'm a Jeffersonian and not a Hamiltonian. Here is my argument. I don't think any broadcaster should be forced to air anything they don't want to. Dictating to a broadcaster that they must give equal time deprives that broadcaster from fulfilling their vision for their outlet. An example, if I were a broadcaster who was anti-Apples, why should the government tell me that for every anti-Apples segment I air I have to air a pro-Apples segment? This deprives me of my freedom to have an anti-Apple radio station based on my sincere convictions. Now, there was a safeguard to prevent the airwaves from being choked with anti-Apple radio. Since there is a limited amount of radio frequencies, it was illegal for one broadcaster to have more than one station in any one city. This meant that if I used one frequency for my anti-Apple station, another individual could use another frequency for their pro-Apple station. This law ensured that radio dial could be filled with many different opinions without depriving any broadcaster from being true to their convictions. Now, over the past couple of decades, the FCC has been relaxing those regulations and allowing single broadcasters to own multiple stations. This means that a single broadcaster with a lot of money could dominate local radio by buying the most stations. This way, as you flip the dial on your radio, you hear one anti-Apple station after another. Coincidentally, these regulations began going away around the same time Rupert Murdoch, a staunch Republican, wanted to start buying multiple stations in single markets. Republican broadcaster, Republican president and Republican president of the FCC, HMM, I'll let you connect the dots. That deregulation of media outlet ownership is what needs to be repealed. Just my two cents. I understand if my email is too complex for the show. Thanks. Darren from Shopping Podcast. Shaw-pink.com.
Thank you, Darren. You sound a little odd. I hope you're feeling better. Anyway, I would like to just say a few things here. First off, you know that I'm a matchmaker, right? I don't know if you're dating anybody, but I know a Jeffersonian, a female Jeffersonian, who I think you would adore and isn't too far from wherever you live in Arizona. And her name is Kristen Oblivion. She's a Jeffersonian too. So, you know how I am, right? There's Dilla Fag and Joe G. So if Kristen is listening, I don't know if you're dating anybody, Kristen. You could be. But if you're single and you're interested in other Jeffersonians, I would have to suggest, Kristen, that you check out Darren at the Shopping Oddcast. You know, I have links in my I sound like that one Doctor Who character. Links on my webpage, Shopping. Go listen to them. Darren can be reached there. You can find out emails to reach him there. But Darren is a Jeffersonian, and Kristen Oblivion is a Jeffersonian. So it's like Garanimals. You know, they're the same. The tags match. So I think you two would get along fabulously. I don't know how that would work out because it's pretty far apart. But, you know, who knows? Who would have thought Joe G and Zilla Fag would be knocking boots, you know? So just my little look into the future, a little matchmaking there. I mean, if you're single and you're looking, okay, I suggest you check out each other. Okay. Ooh. That's not a low-calorie. It is actually a low-calorie carbonated beverage, but I'm having one now as well. So I have two, right? It's okay. Okay, Darren. I understand what you're saying about this. And you know what? I agree with you to a certain extent, okay? I don't know if I'm Jeffersonian or Hamiltonian. I'm Kentionian, okay? So perhaps, you know, this country is founded on freedom, right, and equality and all this stuff. But perhaps, you know, when it comes to something like the airwaves, okay, is perhaps, I don't know. Let me say it this way. As you know, I've been studying hypnosis and reading about it, and it's really amazing how a lot has been researched. There's been a lot of research, scientific research into it, which has come up with some startling conclusions about free will and all sorts of things. Hypnosis is related to learning. There's been research showing that children between the ages of 8 and 15 are, that is like a prime age where children can, are able to be put into, let's say, hypnotic trance, deep hypnotic trance. What this means is, I mean, you know, you think of hypnosis as being a parlor trick, turning people into chickens, but it's really related to learning, right? And what, in suggestibility, right? And of course, it affects the way people see the world and think and react and do all sorts of things. Now, as adults, right, the adult human, I believe 20% are highly suggestible and can go into deep hypnosis, if I have read the reports right. What happens, and you, with hypnosis, there is some, I mean, I could go into, I have to do some more research about ways that people can be hypnotized. Now, there's such a thing as a light trance and a deep trance, okay? Now, a deep trance, I mean, it goes right, it's more effective, I guess, right? For some things. Light trance, though, but for example, can do a lot of, make a lot of changes in people. Medical professionals use a light trance to alleviate pain for operations like dentistry and stuff. I use it when I go to the dentist. I go into a trance and ignore the pain until it's all over, and I don't feel a thing. And of course, I get Novocaine as well. But I actually, one reason why I do it, because I don't want to even feel the needle. You know, I just want to be calm, and that's it. So I use it to calm myself down. Now, these are all good things, right? I mean, we're using it for our own benefit, right? I've been listening to these radio stations and stuff. What it is, they use hypnotic procedures. I don't know how to say it. I mean, techniques, I should say. There's a repetition. Repetition, 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 repetition. If that is the only thing people are hearing, right? What it does is that, you know, hypnosis, right? It's not saying act like a chicken, right? You can, okay, let's say you have a parlor trick, right, where you're telling the person to act like a chicken, right? The best way to affect a person's mind to make them do something, to do something, is to set it up, to put them into a, to let them visualize a situation where the foregone conclusion is to do what the person wants, right? So when you listen to the radio, it's not, they're not saying vote for McCain. They're not saying to do these things outright. But what they do is they set up a situation, the way they report the news, and, you know, whatever news is nowadays, I mean, it has no meaning. The way, there's no objective view of news, okay? I mean, it's all made subjective because it's the way it's reported. It becomes the foregone conclusion. Yeah, well, if this is the only thing you're listening to, you're going to make that decision to vote a certain way or to react to certain situations in a certain way, right? So if this is all you're hearing, right, that's all you're going to hear. So if you hear anything that's different, you know, you're going to be afraid of it, like, you know. So when I say about, so when I, when I'm, t- when I, why I think that we should have this law back into effect is because we have, that's a way of breaking up the monopoly, right? Fine, you know, I mean, in a way, that's the way American capitalism is going, right? Isn't it going towards a monopoly system? You know, though they try to break things up. What the hell? Hold on. Hello? So what I'm saying is here, we have the third part. I forget where I was. This is going to sound awful. So, okay, so let me talk about the third parties, okay? There is a media blackout to third parties. I mean, I'm sorry. I forget. I was on the phone. I had a pause. I forget where I was. Whatever. Okay, let's talk about third parties. Media does not give any kind of voice to the third parties. I mean, even during the debates, right? Like the debates for the Democrats, not all the Democratic candidates were there at those debates. They weren't allowed, you know? I mean, and I have to say that it's fuck you, phone. I have to say that it is probably big business doing this. I mean, there were voices out there who were talking about the single payer, you know, healthcare system, right? They got, you know, shut up because, you know, health insurance lobby. I'm against healthcare insurance. I'm certainly against the system in Massachusetts, and everybody loves it because it gives all this power to the individual companies. Well, that fucking sucks because, you know what? My premiums are going up and my benefits are going down. And, you know, you're forced to pay, and if you don't pay a private, you know, a private company, right, then the Massachusetts will tax you, will give you a penalty. You know, I don't like that at all. I simply don't like it. I am for the single payer, I think it's a single payer system like Canada. You know, and if people, and that should give you the basics, right, for healthcare. So if you're going to break your leg, you can go to the hospital, get taken care of, and whatever. But if you want to have, if you want to buy additional health insurance on your own, well, then that's fine. You know, go ahead. Though that might undermine the system, but you know, whatever. It's fucked. It really is fucked. We are really fucked. It seems. And, anyway, I don't know. I agree with you and I disagree with you. I'm just really concerned about the way people are being, you know, affected. If that's the only thing they hear, it's like fucking Hitler, you know? Or like, you know, what is it? I'm sure in some parts of this country, you only hear right-wing rhetoric on every station. Right, that's all you have. And I'm sure it's big areas, too. And it's like, what's that guy in North Korea? You know, you only hear him on the radio station. Every house has to have a radio where he talks to everybody and bows down to him. It's like getting to be that, you know. Do you want to rim McCain's ass? I don't.
Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow, some offering bring thee now, something for thee. For the blessed mercy seat, pleading for me, my feeble faith. help me the cross to bear, thy wondrous love declare, some song to raise or prayer, something for thee. Give me a faithful heart, likeness to thee, that each departing day henceforth may see some work of love begun, some deed of kindness done, some wonder sought and won, something for thee. All that I am and have, thy gifts so free, in joy, in grief, through life, dear Lord, for thee. And when thy face I see, my ransomed soul shall be through all eternity something for thee.
The Gay Agenda. Well, if you've been listening to the Flatus Show for any time, you know that I am now leader of the Gay Agenda. And I just want to, you know, talk about that, because apparently there's this pastor called Hagee, who endorsed McCain, and he was talking about the Antichrist that's going to come to destroy the world, 20% of the population, and, you know, all the stuff that's described in Revelations. Though, I mean, some could argue his interpretation, which I do. But that's the Gay Agenda, right? But before I start talking about Hagee, I want you to think about the hymn I just sang prior to this segment. And now I want you to, you know, learn it. And as you're singing it, I want you to think about homoerotic delights at the same time, because that is part of the Gay Agenda, is to turn hymns into triggers of homoerotic delights. So when you are singing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, you might be thinking about bondage. And, you know, you get it, okay? So, but this one, I forget what the tune was. I'm satisfied. Is that you're satisfied after having anal sex? Okay, so this is about anal sex and the pleasures of anal sex. So please, every time you sing a hymn tune, think of a hymn. Okay, hymn and hymn together, going at it, having a wonderful, time in a carnal way. So anyway, but back to Jake Hagee. He's a composer. Pastor Hagee, whatever his first name is, he had endorsed McCain, and McCain actually came out and said, "I can't accept your view," because he said something about Jews are responsible for killing Jesus. I mean, where'd he get that idea, you know? But anyway, he's talking about the Antichrist, and he said that the Antichrist is going to be gay, of German descent, and partially Jewish. I am all three. I'm a candidate for being the Antichrist. And I feel like I won, you know, I won something. I feel like, you know, I'm Miss America. You know, I'm a runner-up for being the Antichrist, who will bring, usher in all the horrible things that these fundamentalist Christians think may happen according to Revelations. Of course, as I said, their interpretation is probably a little whacked, but, you know, that's part of hypnosis, right? thank God hypnosis is not permanent. People can change. But anyway, I just want to tell you that. That's why I'm the leader of the gay agenda, because I am gay, I am of German descent, and I'm partially Jewish. So there you go. I am perfect for the gay agenda, okay? I also want to say, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think Toyota is part of the gay agenda. If you look at Toyota, they're all over the place. They're the number one selling car in America. And if you look at the symbol on the back of the Toyota cars, it looks like a devil with horns. And I think that is, you know, part of the gay agenda. Because, you know, we're part of the Antichrist, right? Another thing about the gay agenda, or about the gay Antichrist, right, is in the popular series about premillennialism, dispensational, whatever. Left Behind series, we'll call it. The Left Behind series. They apparently reveal that Nikolai, which is the Antichrist, creative they are with their names, but Nikolai, the Romanian-sounding Antichrist, was the result of two gay guys. There was a test tube baby between two gay guys. So I suppose that, you know, science, you know, has taken the two sperm and, you know, created a being, and that's the Antichrist. So that's the gay connection, you know? Don't you feel, isn't it great to be demonized? And, you know, and I just think we ought to let them, you know? I mean, that's part of the gay agenda, right? So make sure that you buy a Toyota and... And make sure that that you are always think of homoerotic situations when you're listening to hymns.
Another 5-minute mystery.
Sure, Mr. Ronald, hadn't I better make you a cup of chocolate?
No, thanks, Mrs. Bland. Father's working rather late tonight, isn't he?
In that stuffy old library, too. Suspect I'd better pour in a little extra for that butler of yours, Mr. Bowling.
No, Mrs. Bland. The way you say that makes one think...
Why, what's that?
Oh, sounded like a truck backfiring out of the road.
Oh, no, Mr. Ronald. It was in this house.
A gunshot? Mrs. Bland, come on.
Mr. Ronald, look. There on the floor.
Why, it's Bowling. He's unconscious. Mrs. Bland, turn on the lights. Bowling, old man. Bowling.
Why, he's being struck on the head, Mr. Ronald. Look.
Someone hit me from behind. Mr. Ronald, your father in the library.
Mr. Ronald, quick.
Oh, Mrs. Bland.
Your father. Fallen forward on his desk. Mr. Ronald, is he?
Yes. He's dead. Mrs. Bland, call the police. This is murder. Tell the inspector whatever he wants to know, Bowling. We've got to find out who murdered my father.
Yes, sir. Well, I was locking the front door when I first heard the voices from the library. I was surprised because I didn't know Mr. Sweeting had a visitor, but just as I approached the library door...
Go on, Mr. Bowling.
Well, sir... I heard the shot. For a moment, I was confused. Then I opened the door, and Mr. Sweeting was lying forward over his desk, a bullet wound in his temple. I saw a piece of paper caught in his hand, sir, and then a tingling sensation of fear flashed up my spine. I knew I wasn't alone, sir. I didn't see anyone, but I realized the murderer was there, and it flashed through my mind that he was waiting till he could get hold of that piece of paper.
Did you take it, Bowling?
I did, sir. That is, I slipped it into a book that was on the desk.
But there's no book here on the desk.
You must have taken it after all. I even remember the title of the book, sir. It was The Widow's Walk, and I slipped the paper between pages 77 and 78. But just as I did...
Yes?
The murderer darted out the door behind me. I whirled and ran after him. The next thing I knew, something struck me over the head.
No, Bowling, you're wrong. Hold out your hands. I arrest you for the murder of your employer, Mr. Tweeting.
What was the one clue that told the inspector Bowling was the guilty man? In just a moment, you'll hear the inspector explain. But first... If your talent for detecting is as good as the inspector's.
But how did you know Bowling killed my father, Inspector?
He didn't say anything, far as I can see.
Yes, he did, Mrs. Bland. Striking himself on the head was almost enough to make the whole thing plausible. But he said one thing that told me he was lying. You see, it's impossible to insert anything between pages 77 and 78 in a book, because odd-numbered pages are always on the right, even ones on the left. 77 and 78 are actually the same sheet. It just can't be done.
Henry W. Longfellow, Twilight. The twilight is sad and cloudy, the wind blows wild and free, and like the wings of seabirds flash the white caps of the sea. But in the fisherman's cottage there shines a ruddier light, and a little face at the window peers out into the night. Close, close it is pressed to the window, as if those childish eyes were looking into the darkness to see some form arise. And a woman's waving shadow is passing to and fro, now rising to the ceiling, now bowing and bending low. What tale do the roaring ocean and the night wind, bleak and wild, as they beat at the crazy casement, tell to that little child? And why do the roaring ocean and the night wind, wild and bleak, as they beat at the heart of the mother, drive the color from her cheek? You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.